baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So happy to have back on the show here, Blue Jays insider, Sportsnet analyst, and one of the hosts of At the Letters, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
It's my pleasure. Good to be talking some Blue Jays with you.
Always. By the way, great work on all the breaking news concerning the Jose Berrios extension. You were all over that, and I know I pretty much had your Twitter page up and was just refreshing as stuff was going down. So well done.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was honestly a little unexpected. I didn't think that the extension would happen this early. I mean, I do clearly get the sense that Berrios is an important part of this team going forward, but I thought it would be more like February, March, something like that. So a nice little early bit of business there for the Blue Jays to complete.
100%. I know you're on a time crunch, so we'll get right into it here. With the current CBA expiring December 1st and lockout undoubtedly on the horizon, I know the thought was that we're going to see a flurry of moves from teams trying to get things done before that. Are you kind of getting a sense that that's still the case? Could we see some big free agents come off the board in the next few days?
I think we could. I mean, there's at least a middle tier of free agents that we're seeing so far, guys like Aaron Loop or Desclafani or Alex Wood. I mean, you're not talking about the elite free agents in a class that's honestly really good. But
yeah,
for guys that are likely to command, you know, a couple of years, you know, maybe, you know, you see some of those, 2-3 year contracts that aren't necessarily tied to draft pick compensation, aren't necessarily the big headline of the day in the sports world, but in a baseball context, still significant. I think we'll see a few more of those, with Steven Matz likely to be among them in the next little while as you know, teams try to do what they can before what everyone's expecting will be a lockout.
Boy, Aaron Liu did all right for himself, eh?
Oh my goodness. Aaron Liu did amazing. That's like, this is a guy who last year was taking a minor league deal from the Rays, and here he is in the very next year, 2021, signing a 2-year guarantee for $17 million. I mean, I love this deal for Aaron Loop. To be honest, I don't really like it for the Angels, but
yeah,
I think it's
neither.
Incredible. Yeah, it works for one side at least.
And the Angels do need to bolster their pitching, so I guess they're on the right track anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. They got work to do.
I'm curious too, Ben, how much you know, we're talking about the upcoming labor negotiation. Have you caught word on some of the sticking points and items each side is kind of looking to accomplish? And I'm just curious where you stand on this. Do you think it's possible that it eats some of spring training or even worse, some of the season? Or do you think they'll get their crap together?
Well, yeah, spring training, possible. Regular season, I don't see it happening. Like, could they push it back by 3 days? Sure, you know, but I don't think we're going to see a situation where there's a significant chunk of the regular season missed. Like, I'm pretty confident in saying that right now as things stand. So, you know, that leads to the question of what the priorities are. And I can tell you pretty clearly, pretty confidently what the players want, which is they want to incentivize competition among teams, no more tanking. They want the most talented players to be up in the majors, regardless of service time or age. And they want those young players to be paid. And they want to, you know, work to limit spending restrictions, right? That's like an ongoing, decades-long process for them.
Yeah.
Something like the competitive balance tax is always going to be a priority for the players.
Well, and all of that sounds like good things for baseball. Like, as a viewer, we'd like that, right?
Yeah, you know, I think so for sure. And I think, you know, Major League Baseball at the same time, you know, you look at the owners, they've got ideas. They have been proactive in sending ideas over to the players, and good for them. You know, that's, you want to see proposals exchanged in the course of bargaining. I think there's going to be a middle ground here. I really do. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to get bad before it gets good. But I'm not worried about a missed season in 2022.
Well, that is a relief, actually. I know I tend to take the negative view on things, so it's good to hear that they're going to do their best not to eat the season.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the Hall of Fame just released its ballot for this year, and it's kind of cool. Former Minnesota Twin, current Sportsnet broadcaster, Canadian, right? Justin Morneau, on the ballot for the first time. What are your thoughts on his actual chances of getting inducted? I know I obviously it wouldn't be this year, but just in general, do you think Morneau has a shot?
I don't think so. And I was there in Minneapolis this year when they inducted him into the Twins Hall of Fame, clearly one of the greatest Minnesota Twins of all time and one of the greatest Canadian baseball players of all time. And, you know, I've had the chance to work with Justin Morneau a couple of times in his time at Sportsnet, and, you know, have enjoyed getting the chance to work with him. So I only have good things to say, but man, Cooperstown, you try to get that 75% threshold needed for induction. I don't see it happening, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong.
Well, that was my thought too, especially after it took Larry Walker right till that last opportunity. And not that Justin Morneau wasn't an incredible elite talent. I just think that for Larry Walker to take that long and just barely pull it off, he seems like a slight step above where Morneau finished his career.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, both MVPs, both incredible careers. But you look at the bulk, and of course, Morneau dealt with some concussion issues that did cut his career shorter than it might otherwise have been. So, you know, I think when you look at the voting, the behavior of voters, they usually do reward the guys who put up big numbers for an extended period of time. And so that tends to hurt, you know, the Albert Bells of the world, the Johan Santanas of the world, who didn't necessarily do it for, you know, a 15-year period.
Yeah, with the injury strife, that's always a bummer when you see guys with that sort of talent kind of limited because of that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ben, what we're going to do now, I've got a pile of listener questions, so we're going to try and get through as many of them as we can while we got you here.
Sounds good.
Jonathan Nesbitt in our Discord asks, with everyone focused on Ray and Simeon as well as third base, what's the status of the much-maligned bullpen? How many guys are returning, and are they looking for more quality arms through free agency or trade?
Well, when it comes to the bullpen particularly?
That's what he's asking, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they need to add for sure. And they've been in contact with lots of relievers already. My sense is that they're prioritizing starting pitching right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there will come a time that they add relievers without a doubt. And they need to add more than one. Like, they're not just one reliever away. You look at the emergence of guys like Tim Mayza and Jordan Romano, and, of course, Simber and Richards ended up being key pieces for this team. But that's not enough. You know, you're going to need 10, 12 guys in the course of a long season, especially once you throw in some injuries or if someone has a down year, you need to be able to bounce back. So absolutely, the Jays are going to be in that market. I expect them to add multiple relievers.
Now, I'm guessing, just as it normally tends to be when it comes to the bullpen, and especially with this CBA expiring, it's probably more likely we see them add after they come back. Is that kind of a good guess here?
Yeah, I think it is. I think at this point, you know, they've got a week until an expected lockout. And it seems to me that their priority is starting pitching. So if they were to make a move in the next week, I would guess it would be starting pitching, bullpen then a little bit later.
Perfect. Wannabe Outpost from our Discord asks, every year you see some big-time Japanese players hit free agency and MLB teams fight over them. With that in mind, tell us about what you know of outfield free agent Saya Suzuki, and is there any chance of him being an option for the Blue Jays?
It's interesting. I mean, they've been much more involved in the Pacific Rim in the last 3-4 years. We've obviously seen that with Shun Yamaguchi, for instance. Rafael Dolis had played over there. So they do have a presence. And I think outfield is interesting. Suzuki seemingly a really good bat. I'm not sure that he's viewed as a great defender, but he's got some youth and a really good offensive profile. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to any team. And I'm sure the Jays will do background research on him. Whether that leads anywhere, I don't necessarily see it happening because right now they already have a surplus of outfielders. So I would guess that, you know, his posting period, I think, ends in December as things are kind of currently lined up. And I don't think the Jays would be a high bidder on him.
They just have so much going on in the outfield as it currently stands, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's more likely that they would you know, listen on a Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and trade an outfielder away.
Right. Okay, so Newfoundlander Drew Whalen from Discord asks, how heavily are the Blue Jays relying on Nate Pearson this year to succeed? Do you think that this is a make-or-break year for him?
Well, good question, and thanks, by the way, for all the questions. So for anyone who sent them in, thanks for this, and for trusting me with these answers. I'll do my best to answer them. I think that with Pearson, he's someone they're not relying on. He's someone that they would love to see take a step forward, but, you know, they're trying to compete. They're trying to win the American League East, and you can't really do that with a guy who you can't really – I mean, you can do that with Pearson, but you can't depend on him to get you there. So I think it's more of he's going to have every opportunity to pitch a lot of innings, and if he's good, they will use him heavily. But, you know, you need to still add multiple starting pitchers in and around him so that you're not over-reliant on him.
Do you think that they force him to pitch his way on to this team, or do you think that there's a spot available out of spring training? Like, do you think they're going to kind of play the Alek Manoah with him and just make him force their hand?
I think it does come down to performance at this point. Like, in a weird way, if they were more in the position of, let's say, the Detroit Tigers or where the Jays were in 2019, even 2020, you know, you might give him that opportunity. But at this point, they need to be winning games. And if Ross Stripling is throwing strikes and Nate Pearson isn't, well, then Stripling should be the guy in that fifth spot, or, you know, whoever it is, whoever they acquire. Like, it has to be a meritocracy at this point.
I'm kind of leaning towards the chance that 2022, there's more opportunity than we've seen in the past to maybe have a surprise come out as a starting pitcher. You know, like, you look at Joey Murray and his injury troubles last year. You look at Bowden Francis, even a guy like Zach Logue, who led the minor leagues with the Jays in strikeouts. They seem to have some guys at that AAA level that maybe could surprise people and take that next step forward. Am I out to lunch here?
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, I think for Zach Logue, for instance, right, they added him to the 40-man roster. So that's an indication they're going to keep him on that 40-man all winter. So he's going to be one option, one phone call away for the duration of the 2022 season. And the Jays, I would fully expect them to use it. I mean, there will be a point in time where they're depleted in the rotation. And whether that happens in the first couple weeks or first couple months, Zach Logue's the kind of pitcher who, you know, you have a starter pull a hamstring, he's, you know, phone call away, you call him up from Buffalo, and then boom, he's got a turn in the rotation or a few turns. And again, it comes down to how he performs.
And he's 27. Like, that's the thing with some of these guys, right? Is they're not babies. You're not expecting them to be Alek Manoah and just, like, actually know what he's doing against big league hitters at 23.
Exactly. I mean, there's got to be, at a certain point, if they can help you, they can help you. You're not worried about service time with these guys. It's like, they're probably going to help you for, at best case, a couple years. And if that can happen, that's incredible.
All right. So Drinker of Beer in our Discord says, hey, Ben, I'd love to know your thoughts on Jordan Groshans. He's been in the top prospects in the Jay systems for a year or two now. Will it be with the Jays or someone else that he makes his MLB debut? Could he be a trade chip?
I think he could be a trade chip for the right player. I mean, if the Jays are trying to get a controllable starting pitcher, if they're talking to Cleveland about Jose Ramirez, there are scenarios that Groshans could be in trade talks. But I think it's more likely they keep him. And if they keep him, I think that a debut in 2022 is actually somewhat realistic. I mean, he's advancing now. He has advanced pretty far through the minor leagues, and he's shown a lot of promise as a prospect. And so, of course, he would have to show them that he's ready. He would have to be bringing a good plate approach, making consistently hard contact, and delivering some consistent defense as well. But if he's doing those things, then I see no reason that there couldn't be an opening for him in 22 with the Jays.
And most likely he'll start 2022 with the Bisons, correct? Yeah. After the way he finished so strongly in AA last year?
I think that's a really fair assumption, right? And again, we're talking about, you know, players that aren't kids anymore. You know, it's at a certain point, you really do want to test these players. And Buffalo, you know, should be a good spot for a good next step and a good holding zone for players that, you know, again, you're an hour, 45 minute drive away from Toronto at that point, and those players are well aware of how close they sometimes are to that call up.
Ben, thank you so much for your time. Honestly, the fact that you're taking the time to talk to a little upstart podcast out of Alberta, we really appreciate it. I got one more listener question for you, if you
got
the time.
Yeah, go for it.
Derek from Panama says, what sort of advice can you give to aspiring sports writers who want to break into the industry?
Wow. Great question. Great question. I think, I would say, well, then it's important to write a lot and to work on your writing to try to challenge yourself with your writing, to try to write, you know, not just bigger and bolder all the time, but sometimes find ways to write tighter or more clearly would be helpful for any writer, even someone like myself who, you know, writes regularly and has for a long time. So I think that's one aspect of it. I think patience is probably required. It's also worth asking yourself, probably for any career, or any career path, like, what is it that really appeals to you about this? And I think that maybe identifying that could help identify a path forward. But also just being curious too, and obviously, asking these questions is a great starting point, because curiosity, I think, for any sports writer or any sports fan is pretty essential.
Amazing. Thank you so much for the in-depth answers. And honestly, Ben, you're one of my faves to watch as an analyst on Sportsnet. And keep killing it, buddy. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me on. It is it's always great to chat to Jays fans and analysts of all kind of backgrounds and descriptions and parts of the country too. It's really cool to, you know, think that we've got questions from Panama and Newfoundland and of course talking to you in Alberta, right?
So yeah.
It's great. And I appreciate the invitation and wish you the best of luck with the show.
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we talk to you in the future.
Sounds great. Okay, have a great one.
Okay, you too, man. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drop. Cheese and crackers.
They chose to pitch to him.
Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.